Right, this is the mitzvah. The mitzvah, it says, it's a verse in Parshas Mishpatim. It says...
Really, is it Mishpatim?
Yeah, we've been in Mishpatim for a while. There's a lot of Mishpatim. We can stay in Mishpatim for a very long time. There's so many laws in Mishpatim. It says, Kisira chamor sona acha. If you see the donkey of your enemy, of the one who hates you, Robeitz tachas maso, he's crouching under his burden. Bechadalta miazov lo, and you refrain from helping him. Azov tazovimo, you should help him. You should surely help him. So there's a mitzvah of helping somebody whose donkey is overloaded. The donkey is crouching under a heavy load. Help him unload his donkey. And it specifies even if it's your enemy. So we'll discuss both points. Why you have to help him with his donkey, and why are we stressing the fact that it's your enemy's donkey? There's a corresponding verse later on in Parashas Kisetze, in the book of Devarim, much later on in the Torah. And it says there... Find it. Says there, do not see your friend, your brother's donkey or his ox fallen on the road, and hide yourself from it. Help raise it up, help stand it up. So that's the other corresponding verse. So two different, one talks about your brother, one talks about your enemy. And they both have to do with the donkey or the animal, you know, in pain, crouching under a very large burden or fallen down. And we have a mitzvah to help out. So I'll discuss first just some of the basic laws, because it is relevant in ways that we wouldn't think of, but it is a relevant law. We don't walk around with donkeys or oxen anymore, but it's relevant in a few different ways, and then we'll discuss the message and the lesson behind it. So just in terms of the basic laws, if you see an animal needing to be unloaded, and someone's there unloading the animal, you help out. That's number one. You also have a mitzvah to help reload afterwards. So they're in the middle of the road, he's unloading his donkey, all the stuff's off the donkey. Now the donkey stands up, it's able to walk around again, it feels better. So now this guy is stuck in the middle of the road with all of his belongings and his donkey. If you walk away, he's going to be stuck right now. You can't call AAA, nothing he can do about it. So you have a mitzvah then to help him reload the donkey afterwards, and then escort him a while and make sure everything's okay. That's part of the mitzvah. So there's a mitzvah to unload, a mitzvah to reload, a mitzvah to escort the person until we're sure that everything's in control. The difference is that unloading has to be done for free, but you're allowed to ask for payment to reload and to escort the person. So you have mitzvah to do so, and you need to offer, but the person has an obligation to pay you for the reloading and for the escorting. He could deny and say, I don't need your help, but you're allowed to ask for money for that service, but to unload...
The few, the crowd, the Marines,
yeah.
The Talmudim.
For you to unload it, so that you have to do for free. The Torah says, the wording is imo, you do it with him. So the rabbis teach us, why does it say do it with him? If the person says, you know, I'll sit over here and relax, you take care of my donkey, you say, you know, forget about you, I'm out of here. You don't have to help the person if they're not putting forth their best effort. But if they're putting forth their effort, they still need help, you have to help them. If the person is older and doesn't have the strength, the person is sick, then even if they're not helping, you should help out anyways. But the person is capable, and they say, oh, you're here now, I'm going to go relax, and you take care of my donkey, so you can say, I'm out of here. That's what you can say. So that's the idea of emo. There is a second point, which is that besides the fact you're helping out a human being, there's the issue of tsar balei chayim, that the animal's in pain. And that actually has ramifications halachically. So for instance, you wouldn't have an obligation, let's say it's a non-Jew's animal. So you're not obligated to help out the non-Jew in terms of the obligation between you and your fellow man, because these are obligations between Jew amongst Jew. But the animal is in pain. So tsar balei chayim, not to allow animals to be in pain, is a mitzvah on a Jew, no matter whose animal it is. So even though vis-a-vis the non-Jew, I may have an obligation to help them out, I have to make sure the animal is not in pain. So if I come across a non-Jew's animal in pain, I'd have to unload the animal, but I have an obligation to reload the animal. Because reloading the animal is part of the assistance to the person, which I'm not obligated to do to the non-Jew. But unloading the animal is also helping out the animal itself, which I am obligated to make sure is
in
control.
It's kind of counterintuitive. Like, we're supposed to care more for the animal than the person, right?
So the person's not in right now, not under duress. You know, he's not in pain physically right now. So there's a difference there.
No,
but yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's definitely interesting point.
What happens to the person who says, okay, you're here now, so I'm just going to relax.
And he says,
but I'm paying you.
I'm not paying you.
You're in?
Right. Right. So you don't, I mean, if you're not obligated to do that in that situation.
Yeah,
you could take the money. It's your choice at that point. There's an obligation for the Torah to do such a thing.
Well, is there a general obligation to give tzedakah in addition to Jews, but also to other people as well, or is that a different subject?
It's a different subject. I mean, that's called Darkei Shalom. We do things also to create peace in the world. So obviously, if a non-Jew is there with this animal, you say, I'm not helping you because you're a non-Jew, and it's going to create hatred and spite, so obviously go help him. You know, but we're talking about strict obligations here. But always in halacha, there's a category called Darkei Shalom, that we want to maintain peace in the world. So to create enemies and to create hatred and to create anti-Semitism is not a wise thing to do, and therefore you definitely should help out the non-Jew. In terms of the strict black and white obligation, the obligation is not there. This concept of helping the person, if only if they're helping you, is actually taken a step further, which is very interesting. The person sits back and says, okay, I'll sit back and relax, you take care of my donkey, and I'll come later on and take my donkey back, so you don't have to help them. So the Kli Yakar, one of the famous commentators in the Torah, writes that the same concept would apply for someone who's poor and wants tzedakah. So they're doing their best to make money, to have to work, and they still can't pay their bills, they can't collect it, so you have to help them. The person says, I'm going to sit back and relax, and you just give me tzedakah. So he says, you have no obligation to help that person. If they don't work for themselves, don't even attempt to put forth their best efforts, so you have no obligation to help that person at all. That's what Kli Yakar says, basing it on this law. So the person who sits back and says, you take care of my donkey, we say, forget about you, I'm going on my way. The person who says, give me tzedakah money, but I'm not going to go to work, so you say, forget about you. If the person can't work, is not capable, is sick, okay, so of course you have to help them. As long as the person is capable and able to work, they can't say, I'm going to sit back and relax and just collect tzedakah money. They can't do such a thing.
If a person is, they're capable, but they're just lazy.
Well, that's the same problem, I think. They're able to work, they're just choosing not to. So.
Well, I'm in a funny situation because I happen to know where there's a person who's receiving money from a shul to help pay the rent.
Yeah.
But I happen to know the person's habits. They're not really trying to get work or promote. So now I'm in a funny situation. I don't know if I have to tell the shul that.
Right.
You know, that.
So that's a question for the rabbi. I don't. Question, you know, I'm not. That's not something I would get involved in. But.
No, it's tricky.
You know, hey, that the person might need to be encouraged that you got to get up into something yourself.
Well, I tell them myself. Listen, right. Post flyers, you should. You're at the local giant. You know, I don't see your flyer, your services. Why don't you? I don't know how to do the computer. I'll make them for you. You know?
Right.
This kind of thing.
Okay, that's something things to discuss with the rabbi of the shul.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, right.
So in terms of the lessons of this mitzvah, I mean, part of it's obvious, helping out others, not causing pain to animals. Those are two obvious lessons of this mitzvah. The Rambam writes a very interesting point. The Rambam says that if the person's on the road with his donkey, and the donkey cannot continue, and it's crouching under its heavy load, so the person will stay there with his possessions and his donkey, because he doesn't want to leave his money behind. So the person will endanger himself by waiting until he can move on with the donkey. So if you don't help this person, they're going to sit there. Let's say they're on a deserted road, there's nothing around. They're just sitting there with their donkey and the loads on the donkey, just waiting around until somebody comes by. So that person will endanger their own health by sitting there. And in helping out this person unload the donkey, you could be saving that person's life. Picture, you know, the Middle Eastern sun, you know, in the desert, beating down upon a person and his donkey loaded up with goods. And he's just sitting there because the donkey is hurt. So that person is endangering his own life. Because people do things which are irrational at times for their money. We know that. So a person knows, okay, right now I'm getting dehydrated, I'm getting sick, I can walk ahead and find a town and be okay and leave my donkey behind. The person might say, this is my money, this is all my goods, this is my store, this is my donkey, donkeys are very expensive, so I'm going to stay behind with my donkey. So even though it might be irrational and it might endanger the person's health, people are known, it's this very day, we know that people do things very irrational for their own possessions, for their money. So therefore, the Rambam says you'd help the person out so they don't endanger their own life by waiting there with their donkey and their belongings until somebody comes to help. So that's the Rambam's point. The Sefer HaChinuch writes another point, an obvious point, which is compassion. That certainly we know to help a person in physical pain. But this person now, he's not physically pained, but he has pain because he has a monetary loss at stake. And we know that a monetary loss also causes pain. So in addition to our obligation to help those who are experiencing physical pain, we also have to help those who are experiencing monetary loss, which causes them, you know, emotional, psychological pain. And that's also a time to help a person out. So therefore, I have to go and help that person out and load up their animal and unload their animal to help them so they don't have a monetary loss. And then obviously, like we said, there's Tsar Bali Chai. Not to cause pain to animals also ties into this equation here. There's a quote which is in the Gemara. It's quoted by other commentaries as well. It says, Kol shein merachim al habrios, im rachmen alav min hashemayim. If we don't have mercy on others, then heaven doesn't have mercy on us either. If we show mercy, heaven shows mercy upon us. If we don't show mercy and compassion, then heaven doesn't show mercy and compassion towards us. So it's very important that we're sensitive to others' needs, their pain, physical and emotional pain. We help them in their time of need, and that also will create the compassion from heaven coming, being showered down upon us as well. To take it was one step further, practically, to 2 points. So we don't walk around with donkeys. We don't have, we don't walk around with oxen. We don't have horses nowadays too often. But there's two applications which are very applicable even nowadays. Number one is a person who's carrying a load. The Rambam seems to say that certainly if you have to help load and unload an animal, certainly a person. Somebody's carrying a heavy load, it's very difficult for them. There's mitzvah from the Torah, according to the Rambam, to go help the person carry their load. Someone's carrying shopping bags, and it's just too much for them, and they're very having difficulty walking around. So walking over to help, obviously it's the right thing to do. Obviously there's sensitivity involved, but you would actually be fulfilling this mitzvah of helping to unload or reload animals by helping to unload reload the person. Kal v'chomer. Yeah, kal v'chomer. If you have to help unload an animal, certainly unload a person. The person's in pain. The person's in distress. So that's one very practical application which we come across very often, that people need help carrying their stuff, carrying bags, suitcases, boxes, whatever it may be. A second practical application is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan. He was a late 18th century halachic authority, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein. And so in his days, they still didn't have cars. He writes about wagons. He says, in our country, people travel on horse and buggy, horse and wagons. And sometimes the wagon could get stuck in the mud. So you have an obligation to help pull that wagon out of the mud as part of this mitzvah. So again, it's where the person is traveling along and they're stuck. So in the case of the Torah is where the donkey is, the donkey is overloaded. But you can have a practical case. Now, I would apply it to a flat tire. Apply it to a car that gets stuck. So he's saying about a wagon, we'll say it about a car or a flat tire. Going to help out a person when their vehicle is immobilized or stuck, that's part of this mitzvah. He continues and he says, that is the mitzvah of unloading. And if it means you have to unload the wagon because it's too heavy and it's in the mud, and then push the wagon out of the mud and then reload it, that's all part of your mitzvah, to unload the wagon, pull it out of the mud, and to reload the wagon. Then it says, let's say the load falls off the wagon, so you have to help the person load it up. So somebody's walking along, someone's going along in their wagon, and some of the boxes fall out, you mitzvah to go in to reload those boxes. So yeah, we can come up with applications in shopping carts, trunks of cars, things where things fall out. You have an obligation to help people pick it up and reload it. And then he says, so too, if the wagon wheel breaks, the axle of the wagon wheel breaks, so you have an obligation to help the person to fix the wagon as much as you can, and then to escort them to make sure that it's working right. So, apply it to a flat tire, apply it to an engine problem. I mean, if you see someone on the side of the road needing help, part of this mitzvah is to help that person move along. So these are very practical applications which go far beyond donkeys and oxen and horses, but apply very much in our days.
Nowadays,
people don't stop, right?
They're afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
You can see someone on the beltway or something.
Right.
And they look. But I bet you in Camp Mill.
Right.
Camp Mill or a religious.
At least if you see a yarmulke, someone looks Jewish, hopefully you'll stop in that situation.
Yeah.
You're right. To stop for a stranger nowadays is kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah,
right. That's kind of scary. It is scary.
You can use the cell phone now.
Or call the police. Yes, even that could be some fulfillment of this obligation, helping someone else who's stuck on the road. That's part of the obligation. So we know it's the right thing to do. We know it's appropriate. We know it's a sensitivity. But we see it also could fall into the category of this mitzvah in the Torah of unloading and reloading animals. So there's another point to this, which I didn't mention until now, but I want to discuss now further, is the idea that it stresses your enemy's donkey. It says that you find your enemy's donkey crouching under his load, so go help him out. So why does the Torah stress your enemy's donkey? So there's a lot of lessons to learn from this. Number one, the Targum Unquis, who is the basic Aramaic translation of the Torah, he writes in this verse, he says that, I'll read it to you. Yeah, so the Targum Unkelus writes, if you see the donkey of your enemy crouching under its load, and you refrain from helping him out, you should mishpok tishpok ma debili bach alohi. You should abandon the feelings in your heart about this person and help him out anyways. So there's a message here, you know, grow up. This person is in big trouble. This person needs a lot of help. You two may have had arguments over time. You don't like this person. You've had your battles here and there. The person's stuck on the side of the road. There's nowhere else to go. No one else to help them. So the Torah tells you, just toss aside those feelings and help the person out. Move past the argument. He's a human being in need. He or she's a human being in need. So therefore, you have to be there to help the person out. That's part of the message. And it takes maturity sometimes. You know, we have to be able to say, even though it's uncomfortable, even though we've been in a fight, and even though it's hard for me to look the person in the eye, etc. But if a person's in need, it's a person in need. This is somebody who created the image of God, somebody who needs help, so I have to be there to help them. The Rambam picks up on this, and the Rambam says, the Rambam is the one who told us before that a person who's stuck on the side of the road could be physically in danger. A person will remain there with their property until someone comes along, and they'll endanger their own lives. So the Rambam points out, the Torah wants us to help even the wicked, because Hashem himself says, I don't desire that the wicked should die, rather they should repent and live. Hashem doesn't want people to die, Hashem wants people to live. Hashem wants even the wicked to live. If they repent, he's very happy to have them live and prosper. So Rambam says, even though this is your enemy, this person may be a wicked person, maybe this person did something wrong, and you know about it. But if God desires that people should live and move past, you know, and move past their bad relationships, so too, as human beings, we have to make sure that we, as well, we toss aside our emotions, we help the person out to help them survive and thrive. There's another interesting aspect to this, a very fascinating quote from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, let's have a situation where you're walking along the road, and there's two people there. You have your good friend who needs help to unload their donkey, and you see your enemy who needs help to load their donkey. So what do you do first? Which one takes precedence? So in terms of the animal which needs unloading is in the pain right now. And the animal which needs loading is very happy, right? Both human beings need help. So you would think, let's go and help the animal first, because the animal right now is crouching under our load. But the animal which needs unloading is your friend's animal, and the animal which needs loading is your enemy's animal. So the Gemara says that precedence is given to your enemy's animal which needs loading, even though the other animal right now is suffering under its burden. And the reason the Gemara says is that, because we have an opportunity here, the words are lakuf es yitzro, to subjugate our yitzer hara. Now, our yitzer hara tells us, forget about this person, he's a wicked person anyway, a terrible person, doesn't care about me, I don't care about him, I'm going to go help my friend out. And anyway, the animal's in pain. But there's sometimes we have exercises. Rabbi Hirsch calls it a self-conquest. We want to be able to conquer ourselves, to conquer our own emotions, or conquer our own yitzer hara. So there's an emphasis here that you have to go help out the enemy in this situation, because the Torah is here to promote, I call it flexing our mita muscles. We're trying to work out our mito, a good mito. So that's what we're trying to do. We know hatred is wrong. It's forbidden to hate people. The Gemara says, the Gemara even questions, how do you have an enemy? The Torah forbids hatred. You're not allowed to hate somebody in your heart. So there's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't be hating someone else. Obviously, it's a terrible mita. We want to make sure our relationships are peaceful and happy and healthy. So if we, even though we don't want to help this person out, we feel uncomfortable, we feel that something that, you know, I'd much my friend's in need over there, and his animal's in pain. But the Torah says, no, it's more important for you right now to go and conquer Yetzer Hara, overcome your feelings, overcome that hatred. And a lot of times, the more that you help a person out that dislikes you, that's how you create a relationship once again. If you help the person out despite the tension, sometimes it is the tension. Sometimes that makes you love the person once again. It renews the relationship. So let's not feed our grudges. Let's become bigger and better people. And the Gemara says so you should give precedence to the one who's your enemy, whose donkey needs loading. Very fascinating Gemara. But it's a very important lesson.
On paper that it is to actually.
Yeah, right, absolutely, right. But the message is a very powerful message, which is that this is more important, according to the Torah, than the animal in pain. So even though there's a mitzvah not to cause tzar b'alei chayim, we can't cause pain to animals, but to be able to conquer our yetzer hara and to create peaceful relationships takes precedence over that even. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. So therefore, the precedence in terms of the halacha is to go help out your enemy whose animal needs loading. Yeah, it's very difficult. It takes maturity. It takes being a big person. But we have to overcome it. There's one more very important lesson which comes from this. very fascinating thing which relates is that another Gemara, the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says, it asks the question, how is it that you have an enemy? You're not allowed to hate people according to the Torah. So is this a sanctioned hatred, or is this a forbidden hatred? So the Gemara says it could be that this is a type of hatred which is allowed. What would be the case? It would be a case where you saw somebody do a terrible act, but you could not testify about it in court. If you could testify about it in court, then everyone's allowed to hate the person. If the person is actually labeled as a wicked person, then we're all allowed to hate the person. But let's say you personally know about something this person did, but it's not public knowledge. You can't testify in court about it. So it's basically between you and the other person at this point. So you have a license to hate the person according to the Torah. You saw them do a terrible thing. So you have a license to hate that person. And then you come across this person who needs help along the road. And the Gemara quotes a verse. The verse says, Yiras Hashem Sinas Ra. Fearing Hashem means hating evil. And if you have objective knowledge this person did an evil act, then you're allowed to hate the person. But then still, the Torah says you come along on the road, and you see if that person in need, you still have to help them out. Even though you know objectively this person did a terrible, heinous act, the Torah says your enemy's donkey, this is someone who you have a license to hate because they did a terrible act, you still have to help them out on the road. Whether it be for their own benefit, for the animal's benefit, you have to help them out on the road. So, Tosfos, one of the main commentaries in the Gemara, he asks the question. He says that, we know we just said that part of going to help out your enemy is because you want to conquer your Yitzhara. Hatred is wrong, and helping an enemy helps you overcome hatred. So he says, well, if you're allowed to hate the person, then it's not Yitzhara, it's Yitzhara Tov. It's the right thing to do. The Torah says, I'm allowed to hate this person. This person is evil, and when we said, fearing Hashem means to hate evil. So I know this person objectively is an evil person. I'm allowed to hate them. So how is it that I'm conquering my Yitzhara and doing by helping the person out? It's the opposite. Helping the person out, I'm supposed to hate the person. I should go and leave the person aside, not help the person out. I'm supposed to hate this person, I'm supposed to hate. I have a license to hate this person. So the lesson that Tosva says, he quotes a famous verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs. The verse he quotes is, Kamayim panim al panim, kilev adam la'adam. Just like a reflection you have, your face in the water reflects back at you, however you look at the water reflects back the same face, so too the heart of a person to another person. I mean, a lot of times, how we treat another is how they reflect back towards us. It's a very important principle to know. If I act friendly to you, you're friendly to me. If I act nasty to you, you're nasty to me. And even somebody who you may have a bad relationship with, if you start being nice to them, usually they'll also break and be nice back to you. Because it's just like a mirror. You look in the mirror, the face looks back at you. Whatever face you make looks back at you through the mirror. It's the same thing, the heart of one to another, whatever my heart portrays, your heart's going to reflect back that same feeling. So the way this is explained, so Rav Shinshim Pinkus, in his book, he writes, he gives the example. Let's give the example of this case. Let's say there's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven hates Shimon. And Reuven hates Shimon because he saw Shimon do a terrible act, a terrible sin, a really heinous, disgusting act, and he objectively he hates the person because he's an evil person and did a terrible thing. So now, naturally, the hated one, Shimon, feels this, you know, and in turn, he'll hate Reuven back. That's the natural. So even though Shimon may not know that Reuven even saw him do this terrible act, but since Reuven now experiences Shimon, Shimon experiences Reuven's hatred, so Shimon will now reflect back hatred towards Reuven. That's it. That's expected. So now, because of that, Reuven will feel an additional hatred towards Shimon. If you're not following this, I'll say it again. Because not he doesn't only hate him now because of the thing he did, but now, since Shimon is acting in a hateful way towards him, he double hates him. He hates him for his evil acts, and he hates him personally now. He has a personal vendetta. He has a personal hatred towards this person. So now it's become personal. It's not just for what you've done. It's because you're acting hateful towards me, I'll hate you. So there's no mitzvah in this hatred. There's a mitzvah to hate a person for their evil acts. But if I hate them because of the way that they act towards me, that's forbidden to do. I'm not allowed to hate another person unless I see them do an objectively disgusting act. But if the person just isn't nice to me, I'm not allowed to hate that person. So, on the one hand, I can hate this person because of his disgusting act, but the fact that now he acts nasty towards me, I can't hate him for that reason. And there's double hatred involved here. So, now that I walk along and I see him on the side of the road, I'm going to want to leave him alone, not help him out, because he hates me, and I hate him. if it's only because of the hatred, because of his disgusting acts, I'd be fine. You know, hating is the right thing to do in that situation, and you know, there's no reason for me to go and try to squash Maitsuhara, because the hate here is actually a good thing. You have a license to hate. But since I feel a second personal feeling of hatred towards a person, that's where we draw the line. And the Torah says, no, you can't have that feeling. We see it, how terrible, how exactly we have to be in terms of our feelings towards others. Even in a case where we have a license to hate, we have to be so exacting that any extra undue hatred is off limits. So now, I walk along that person on the side road with his donkey. And my friend's over there with the donkey as well. My friend's donkey is loaded up and in pain. And my enemy's donkey, the one who I hate, and I saw him do a terrible act, and I hate him for it, his donkey needs loading. But I also hate him for another reason. I hate him because now we have a bad relationship. And not only do I hate him for his actions, I hate him for who he is, because he acts hateful towards me. So there the Torah says, well then, that hatred is crossing the line, so go help him out to at least, you know, take away that second level of hatred. But the powerful lesson there is that you see how exacting we have to be. Even in a case where hatred is fine, you can't go one step beyond what we're allowing, because it's a terrible sin to hate another person. The Torah promotes love, the Torah promotes, you know, bonding, brotherhood, unity. The minute that hatred goes beyond where it's supposed to be, is a very terrible step. So that's how we understand. So this idea of kemayim panu apanim, that with the heart of one man looking towards the other, they reflect back those feelings. I have to use that concept even to the person who I hate with a license, because I don't want to hate them any more than for their actions. That's where it is. So that's how hatred is such a terrible midah in a person, and it's looked on such a grievous sin in the Torah, that going one step beyond, even where I'm allowed to hate the person, is so terrible, I would go and help out that person before my friend, even though my friend's animal's in pain, his animal's not in pain. Just as an aside, in terms of hating another person, there's possibly four or five prohibitions in the Torah. The Torah says, do not hate your brother in your heart. So you can't have any hatred on the inside. You have to express your hatred. And if you express your hatred, there's an issue. There, we have a mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself. We have a mitzvah of not bearing grudges, not taking revenge. Those are the three or four that come to mind. But hatred, whether it be in my inside or whether I express it, I am violating many Torah precepts by hating another person. I'm allowed to hate the person if I see them doing an objectively evil act. But besides that, hatred is totally off limits. And my hatred has to be only for what I saw them do, not for anything else. So the lines are very fine lines. It's very difficult at times. But this mitzvah teaches us, you know, how careful we have to be and how terrible hatred is. So just to, sum up, we always have to ask ourselves a question. Do I have a right to feel hatred towards this person? Usually the answer is no. Usually I hate the person not because they did anything which is objectively evil. Usually I hate the person because they don't treat me nicely. I don't like how they act. I don't like, whatever. They insulted me one time. But I didn't see them doing anything objectively evil. So usually the answer to that question is no. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, do we have the right to hate this person? Even so, even if the answer is yes, I have to help that person out. The person needs help on the road. I have to help that person out. And even so, that hatred must be limited to the exact reason for the hatred. No personal enmity or grudge towards the person. And even that slight amount of extra hatred is like hating an innocent, righteous person at that point. So I have to really keep that in mind. So I guess that's a hint towards us getting out of here. Yeah. But so just to recap, so the mitzvah of helping out another person on the road with their donkey has practical applications in terms of helping people out, with their own bags and luggage, car problems. And has a lot of lessons in terms of trying to squash our own hatred towards other people and training ourselves, flexing and working out our midos muscles in order so that we do have love and peace and unity with others.